One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Well, you know, the days are full and the field is white, the time is short, labors are few, and Jesus is real and the Bible's so, the Holy Spirit's still able. A lot of things are true today. Everything that ever was true is true today. Did you know that? A lot of people say, well, and let me just tell you the secret of it. If you wonder why the Lord's blessing Brother Olaf the way he blesses, I'm always trying to do something for somebody else besides me and my family. Now, that's just the truth. My wife knows it, and you know it if you've gotten sense at all. And you think I'm awful liberal. No, that means I'm selfish, because the more I do for others, the more I get. I mean, I've got to get with it. I mean, I want it. See, I want the blessing. And you wonder why. I tell you, dear friends, if the Lord not blessing you, you're probably not doing anything for anybody else. You're probably drying up on the vines. You know that? You know, I'd rather be a grape than a raisin. Amen? That's a good statement. I hadn't made that. You know, I did say this many years ago. The difference between a raisin and a raisin is a grape that's lost the joy of its salvation. Yeah. And that's what's wrong with a lot of our church members. David lost the joy of God's salvation. He's in a terrible fix. He'd already hung his harp up. He wasn't singing. He was moaning and groaning and hollering, Lord, restore to me, you know, the joy. He said, create in me a what? Clean heart, renew a right spirit. He'd lost everything. He didn't have a clean heart, didn't have a right spirit, didn't have the joy. Brother, when you run out of those three things, you're out. Oh, my soul, I tell you, we're living in the saddest day. Our churches are filled with people that come like a bunch of tired work mules or horses, you see. Man alive, we need to feed them up on some yellow dent corn and golden oats and send them out to plow again. Yes, sir. God's people. God's people. Well, I want to speak on that subject. What's on your menu, Lord, for me? What do you want me to do? He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And he said, just go on to Damascus. Now then, I want to ask you a question. And of course, I realize that I'm exposing myself to criticism and somebody saying that he is digressing. Dear friend, there's no digressing as long as I'm interested in your soul, mind, or body and tell you that Jesus meets all the needs. And I can't get away from the book. Anytime I preach on something, I don't get my text out of the Bible, then I'm off on the wrong side. But Jesus spent most of his time doing what? Taking care of the physical and the mental needs of the people. You said, but he died on Calvary. Right. It didn't take Jesus but just a few minutes or hours to die for my salvation. He spent 3 years demonstrating what a Christian ought to be like. Then he died. He didn't suffer my sins. He died for my sins. If all you got to preach is that Jesus suffered for my sins, you could be wrong. The Bible didn't say suffered. He died for my sins. I know he suffered before he died, but listen. If Jesus had suffered and suffered and suffered and been crowned with thorns and would had nails to his hands and then refused to die, me and you'd have still been lost. Now, brother, we could preach a little modernism there if we say that all Jesus did was just suffer for my sins. The Bible said the soul that sinneth, it shall what? Die. The wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to pay that debt. And Jesus Christ died on Calvary. And there's only one thing that'll cover your sins, and that's the very death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two steps in the plan of salvation, and maybe I should say three, the virgin birth and the sinless life, the atoning death and the glorious resurrection. Those three things winded up. You can't leave out any of them. They're all right there. But Jesus suffered a lot. And he spent a lot of time taking care of the physical needs. People got hungry, you know what he did? He fed them. He said, give ye them to eat. They said, we don't have anything. He said, well, sure, we don't have to send them away. Bring what you got. And he fed 20,000. He fed their bodies. Jesus Christ healed a Gadarene demoniac. And dear friend, if you study the cases in the Bible where people went crazy, you'll find that it was connected. Nebuchadnezzar went crazy. What drove him crazy? Pride. What is pride? Sin. Pride goeth before destruction. Holy Spirit before fall. Okay. There it is. He got proud of himself. What was it that killed old Herod over there when he made a big speech? What was it? Failing to give God the glory. You know what's killing America? We haven't given God the glory. Man's running this thing himself now, and it's on the rim too, boys. Oh, we've decided we'd go up into space, you know, but we haven't got anything done. Want to go to the moon, but I feel sorry for the moon when we get there. I'll guarantee you, if there's anybody on the moon, one of the first shipments will be a load of liquor from the earth. The cigarettes and the liquor has gone ahead of the missionaries on the mission field. Did you know that? You won't go. You may go to Africa, but I'll guarantee you when you get there, you're going to find cigarettes and you're going to find liquor. They'll beat the missionaries out every time to go right on in. That's business. The oil men, they've gone to the very darkest places on the continent and bored to the belly of the earth and brought out black gold. Men have risked their lives. They've gone out to the oceans and out to the offshore rigs, and people have died and been killed. Why? Digging out the oil. Business. Business. But I tell you one thing. We've let three things come to the final stages of decay, and that's the soul, the mind, and the body. What happened to Samson? Sin. What was it got David in trouble? Sin. What was it killed Achan? Sin. What was it brought on the big flood? Sin. What was it that killed the first man that ever died? Sin and disobedience. Why did the prodigal son go crazy? Sin. The Bible said he came to himself. That means he'd lost his mind. Working in the hog pen, wasn't he? What did Jesus do for him? Healed him. Gave him back good place, robe, the best robe, shoes, ring, fatted calf, and love. Now, what is it that's driving American people crazy? Sin. Just sin. What's breaking up the American home? Sin. What's cheating the little children? Sin. Why do we have six homes for people in trouble? Sin. Now, you'd say, Brother Wolf, what's the cause of it? Well, the main cause is the gospel is not being preached to the people. The average church is sort of a rest home or a recreation center. I mean, there's nothing real serious about an average church today. Go in the basements of churches and find dancing going on, cigarette smoking, all that. I mean, that's not a church, that's a nightclub. Ought to change the name of it. I'm just simply saying, I'm not blaming the people. You can't blame the sheep, brother. The shepherd's been off somewhere. Of course, I'm glad there's still churches like this church, and God's got some preachers, but I tell you one thing, and I don't mean to be self-righteous about it. God knows my heart. I've made enough mistakes for a lot of preachers in my lifetime, but I tell you this, the preachers that really stand for the Word of God are really in the minority. Fact is, they don't have the authority today to speak for their religion. I mean, they're out on the fringes today. Now then, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. I want to give you two verses. And, you know, yesterday we spoke with you and had such an attentive audience on the mind. I never forget when I went to school, I was in some sort of a class. They said, mind over matter. Mind over matter. You ever hear that? Mind over matter. Well, brother, we rehearsed it as matter over mind now. Fact is, most people's minds are all mattered up, aren't they? Huh? That's right. That's the reason they're having to go to psychiatrists and having the mental cure and shock treatment. Because you've heard me say it, I say it again. When I started preaching, when people got ready to get a shock treatment, they went to an old-fashioned Brush Arbor meeting. And they got it, too. Old preacher get up there and didn't have any PA system except one built in. I mean, in his own chest, and he could holler for 3 miles. You'd hear him just about it. They got the shock treatment. Groaning and moaning. And it lasted, too. You know why people need a shock treatment most of the time? It's because of something back in the past. They're trying to shock that out of them. Now, folks, I don't mean to be just so ignorant or anything else or unlearned, but why can't we go to Jesus with that? I mean, if you've got something in the past that's ugly and filthy and ungodly, I mean, why can't you just go? He said he'd bury it for you. And Jesus will preach a funeral and bury it at the same time. Jesus is the greatest undertaker that I've ever known in my life. He'll take all of your old sins and haul them off and bury them for you. Isn't that something? And he said, I won't remember them, guess thee, anymore now. I promise you that. I'll remove as far as the east is from the west. I'll bury them in the depths of the sea. Now, folks, that's enough for me. Now, and something else. If Jesus Christ has forgotten all about your sin, why in the world can't you forget what he's forgotten? And I don't understand why we keep bringing up the past when it's already dead and buried. I think I'm fixing to write a sermon for the next Faith Enterprise on, and I've been requested to do it because a priest one day on came to him and went on radio and said, let them bones alone. That's what he said, let them bones alone. Most people are, they're framing bones. They got their old religious bones and denominational bones and their social bones and their family bones and all that bunch of sentiment and junk. You better let them bones alone. The average person, honestly, he doesn't have anything real. I mean, he's looking, our Baptists, they meet for a convention. Now, you know what they talk about? Our great Baptist heritage. They better let them bones alone. You know what I woke up thinking about this morning? Jesus said, you know, you sure are concerned, aren't you, about making it white on the outside. But he said, I tell you, the inside is full of dead men's bones. And you know, that's exactly what's happening to the American people. Mentally, we're trying to shine up on the outside. We've got a lot of education. We got doctor's degrees. We got all sorts of college degrees and master's degrees. We're shining up on the outside. But down in here, we're plumb empty. Yes, sir. We're just completely empty. Have you ever seen one of the old stores that got everything hanging on the outside? Everything. Oh, you look out, I mean, there's old dresses and trousers and coats and lawnmowers. And, I mean, everything you can think of. You walk back in the inside, it's bare as an elephant's back. Hadn't got one thing on the inside. That's about the way most of us are today. Everything we got's hanging on the outside. And it's pretty ragged, isn't it? Now then, turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10 and verse 10. And I believe that this still, he got something for us when he went. The 10th chapter and the 10th verse, I stayed in the mount. I stayed in the mount. Now this is his second time in the mount. But I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to get the same thing the second time he got the first time. Now you know what happened to it the first time, don't you? He came down the mountain and found old Aaron, the associate pastor, whirly outfit down there. Of course, he wasn't supposed to go along anyhow. That's Moses' suggestion, wasn't it? You know, every time I've added to God's plan, I got in trouble right there. Every time I said, now, Lord, I know you're wonderful and wise, but I'd like to make a suggestion. You better keep your mouth shut, preacher. You know, when Simon Peter was on the mount, Transfiguration, and he had a great time. He saw the two astronauts coming in, you know. And they landed there, you know, and they was having a great time. Simon Peter, he jumped up, you know, and had a little running fit and spell and shouted in time or two and said, oh, it's good to be here. Great meeting we're having here. He said, we better go in the building program. Well, that wasn't so bad, but he said, we want three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. And the Heavenly Father pulled back the Venetian blinds and hollered at him right loud, scared him to death, didn't he? He fell on his face, and he wouldn't come up. I think directly touched somebody and said, see, Father, the coast is clear. God said, this is my beloved son. You better hear him. Don't you start building before he tells you to build. Oh, listen, dear friends. We need to get it straight from heaven. What does God want me to do? Now, the question, I know I got too much to say this morning, but I'll say what I can and quit at 11. Now, does God really care today as much as he used to care? The old battleground that looked like we've lost on is it really God's will for me to be sick? I mean, does it please God to peddle polio? Does he still give little children diphtheria and then choke them to death, let them die? I notice we've had a fresh outbreak of diphtheria. And Is it God's will? I mean, is God peddling that kind of stuff? Is my Heavenly Father concerned about me physically? I mean, does he really care? You know, we used to sing that old song, Does Jesus Care? And does he care today like he did when he walked the shores of Galilee? When he looked at the multitudes and wept, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Heard the little children crying because he's hungry, and he said, we got to fix a meal for them. Bring the bread and the fishes, and he did, and fed them, and gathered up 12 baskets left over. Now the question is this, do we have a God at hand, or is he far off? I mean, do I have access to what the people had access to when he was here? Does he care about my mind? Did he take care of the prodigal son all right? Did he handle the Gadarene demoniac all right? I mean, does Jesus really care? Number two, is he just as able now as he used to be? I want you to get the questions now, because you've got to answer. This will determine what you can do from here on. I mean, so far as I'm concerned, if you believe what I believe about it, it'll be different. Does he care? The answer, yes, I believe he does. Said he always would care. Said he'd never leave me, never forsake me. And said he'd be with me always, even the end of the world. So he's with me today. And the next question is this. Is he able? I mean, is he really able today to do what he used to do? For his people, for his children? Number three, does he use the same means today that he used back there then? If he does, what does he use? And brother, this is where you cannot accuse me of getting away from the Bible. He uses the same thing he always used, and that's the Word of God. Preachers, if we believe these three things, that he still cares, that he's still able, and that he's got power in his word, then that's where we come in right there. That's the reason I don't expect the doctors to cure my alcoholics. They don't have the word. That's the reason I don't turn them over to the AAs because they just smoke cigarettes and play dominoes. And I'm not criticizing them. I wish they could do more, but they'll never do any more until it's not enough to present a higher being, brother. They got to present Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And when they throw the newspapers out, and the television set out, and the coffee pot out, and the cigarettes out, and pick up the Word of God, then somebody's going to hear from heaven. Of course, I know they'll scatter like quail shot into, but that's one way to tell whether they want help or not. Or we take them to the city of refuge, I'll guarantee the old flesh hollers about 5 miles before it gets there. And it hollers from then on till it gets delivered. What? You know cigarette? No, that's dope, son. Well, my preacher smokes. I said, he's a dope head. Oh, you mean, yeah, I said, I already said it. It wouldn't take it back for nothing. It's right. You see, that's the thing that gets us in trouble, but the thing God takes care of us while we're in trouble and keeps us going. That's amazing things, you know it? We need to get folks delivered from fear if we want them to be well and have a mental mind that'll be clearer. Have a body that'll be strong, have a soul that'll be pure. It all comes through the Word of God, every bit of it. I stayed in the mountain. Moses said, I stayed in the mountain. And you know what he had when he came out of the mountain? I'll just tell you what he had. He had the manual for living. Just like I've got a manual in my airplane for flying that plane. Got 1,002 hours on that engine right now. But I'll tell you what, that manual sure told me what kind of octane to put in it. And it sure told me about the oil and told me how many quarts and told me about getting 100 hours and all the rest of it, dear friends. I had a manual to go with it. I want to ask you a question. Why don't you face this thing? Did God make anything as important as the body, the home of the Holy Spirit, and didn't even give a manual to go with it? Now, I'll grant you that I don't understand some things in the manual, but all I got to do is go to the master mechanic and he'll tell me. Amen? And I don't understand what all that he said. See, I've been confused back through my years because the seminary professors didn't tell me. And my Bible teacher in Baylor University just didn't tell me. They said, why, fasting's out and dietary law's gone and you're just not supposed to do this and that. Why, they're wrong about that. I know they're wrong about it. Fasting's still one of God's means of healing. All you got to do is just
get you about 5 gallons of water and drink it and pray and read your Bible and get your system cleaned up. God uses natural means. But you see what we've done? We've turned our body over to the mechanical. You see, we're organically made, but now we're mechanically preserved. So we've made a mechanism. We treat our body just about like it is a piece of machinery of something, you see. But the Bible said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Moses went in the mount and stayed till God gave him 5 books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now then, he said, I want you to go out and live by these books. And I'll tell you what he did. He did everything God told him to do. And when he wound up at 120 years of age, he climbed 2 mountains and from Pisgah's lofty height, he viewed his home and took his life. Yes, sir. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise. I'll seize my everlasting fire. I'm going to shout while passing through there. Farewell, farewell. Sweet hour of prayer. I'm going into his presence. Now just talk to him first. Why? The Bible said he died according to the word of God. According to the word of the Lord. Now, folks, the thing that's wrong with us, we don't eat by the word of God. We don't sleep by the word of God. We don't walk by the word of God. We don't build our homes on the word of God. We don't build our churches on the word of God. What's the result? Decay and ruin and sin. Find ourselves standing at the end of the trail today. All right? I want you to turn to the John chapter 10, verse 10. These are twin scriptures, aren't they? Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's John 10:10 and Deuteronomy 10:10. And there they are. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, what did he say? I mean, what does that mean? Well, he said life, didn't he? All right, let's tie another verse on. John chapter 6 and verse 63. Is that right? I know it's the 6th chapter, the bread of life chapter. John chapter 6, and we'll find these words. The words that I speak unto thee, their spirit, their life. What are the two things we need today? We need spirit, we need life. Where does it come from? The word of God. All right? Now, you know the secret of spiritual health? It's cleansing. It's cleansing. You see, there's such a sweet parallel in all these things. Mentally, if your mind's bad, you've got trash in it. What do you got to do to get trash out? Got to cleanse it. How can you cleanse your mind? My brother, by the washing of water, by the word. That's the word of God. You know what's wrong with people mentally today? Their minds have been too filled with newspapers and television, rock and roll, and so forth. Last night, we had a man and his 2 daughters and his grown son and their mother and wife is at the City of Refuge. She's one of your dope addicts from Florida, the Sunshine State. But all of her sunshine left when the moonshine and the dope came in. And it all goes together, boys. And she was a pitiful sight when she came. I've talked to her when I came to Florida. And she, of course, was full of dope, and her tongue was real loose, and she could talk and jabber. And she said, I'm in a terrible fix, but I got connections to get my dope and so forth. Her husband doesn't realize, but he's on dope too, because I smelled it on him last night. He's on cigarettes. And he walked up to me, and he said, I've just been up to see my wife, me and the children. And he said, I tell you, I just don't know what to think about her. He said, I just can't tell what to think about her. He said, I'm telling you the truth. I've never seen her like that in my life. I've known her for these 20 years or more. And he said, I tell you, something's happened. Well, you know what happened. See, she changed physicians and hospitals. See, we operate a hospital. You know that? A doctor asked me one time, I was on the radio in the big gun station in Atlanta, said, I suppose that you have plenty of medical if I said, oh, definitely. Yeah. I never did tell him who my doctor was. He said, I'm sure you would. When you take those dope addicts and those alcoholics and they go through DTs and they hit those convulsions, I'm sure. I said, oh, man, we have the finest medical help you get. A lot of you looking at me don't like it. Well, it's just Jesus. This is the medicine cabinet right here. The Bible. You'd say, Brother Olof, you'd read it. Believe it. It's got to work, dear friend. All these years, none of them died. Not one of them's ever died. Can you imagine taking those folks in, they go plumb crazy and chew the tongue, you know, go into convulsions, and none of them's ever died? Dear friend, they've already gone through the worst of it before they got to us. At least we got a decent bed from sleeping. We got some decent people to stand by them and sometimes hold that tongue to keep them from chewing it to pieces. And we've got the Word of God to offer to them, the power of God to come down and bless them. All you got to go is just see them now and watch them. Brother, that's what I'm talking about. Husband said, well, I can't imagine. You, my wife's out there running that runway. She'll outrun him. He better be getting in shape, because if she gets after him, I guarantee she'll catch him. What am I talking about? I'm talking about just living by the Bible and letting God do it. What did Jesus say in John chapter 15? Now you're clean. How? Through the word which I've spoken unto you. Now you're clean, he said. I spoke the word. What do you think he meant over there in the 107th Psalm when he said he sent his word and healed them? What do you think he meant in Matthew chapter 8 when the centurion said, Lord, I sure don't deserve your presence under my roof, but if you'll speak the word only, that'll be all I need. I don't have to have you. You just put the power of your word back in my home. My servant will be all right when they get there. Wasn't that right? Now then, I want to ask you a question, preacher. We got to face it, boys. Have we got to depend on the drugstores and the doctors and the hospitals? I mean, is that the only place we know to go now? I mean, we talk about the authority of the Word of God. I stand by the authority of the Word of God. I offer you the Word of God. I have the Word of... Well, do you really, boys? I mean, do we really count on the Word of God? Does Jesus care today like he always cares? Dear friends, you can chop me to pieces. You can say I'm not preaching the gospel, but I'll tell you one thing. When we start offering help for the people mentally and we start offering help for them physically, they're going to come back to church. Anybody that'll go sit down in an old hospital room or in a medical office and wait 3 solid hours to see a doctor and get a sharp needle punched in their arm and go back home without the cure. I believe if we'd offer them the right kind of help down at the church, they'd come on down here for an hour or two. I can't divorce my religion. I can't divorce it from helping people mentally and physically. I'm going to have to do it. Brother, I want you to know one thing. It was a sad day. Now, you better watch me. I know I'm on the radio, and I know the people sometimes, sweet friends, misunderstand, but I can't help it. I'm going to have to do what I can for my generation. I see them as they're dying like flies across this country because they got out of the will of God and got away from the Word of God, got too lazy to take exercise and plant a garden. Go back to the soil, brother. We's made out of the soil. We got to go back and live out of it. Just make up your mind. You folks down here in the Sunshine State, if you want to improve your health, you start running about a mile or two every day and plant your garden in your backyard. Quit sitting around with your nose stuck in an idiot box. Then wonder why you feel so bad and you're all stove up and you're not limbered up and you couldn't bend over without breaking 4 bones. I tell you why. It's because God's people are not doing what the Bible says, walking. The Bible said the just shall walk. Brother, that's Bible exercise. I'm trying to help you and keep you from spending all your money. Missionary, you think of what any church could do for you if they'd keep their people well for 1 year and just give their medical bill just to you. Brother, I'll guarantee you, you'd go over in a private plane. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, we've just succumbed to tradition. We've just succumbed to tradition. All right? Now then, there are 3 parts of me, and all 3 of them are important. I'll tell you why. My mind, because that's the way I listened to the gospel and heard about Jesus. And that's the way I think every day. Listen, what if my mind went bad on me right now? I couldn't remember all those telephone calls that came yesterday and last night. I wouldn't know the letters to write. I couldn't answer. I couldn't preach. I couldn't think. Couldn't do nothing. Brother, this mind is a gift of God. He said God has not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and of what? A sound mind. A sound mind. And I'm coming up to something in a minute. I want to share it with you. Now, what about my body? Why is my body important? You think my 147 pounds, it wouldn't be worth 10 cents if it's dead? I mean, what is the worth of a body? Why is my body important only as a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit? Now, let me ask you one question. Do we really believe that the Holy Spirit has a right to a clean house? Now, not only does he need to dwell in a clean house, this is his automobile, if I could say it reverently. This is the conveyance of the Holy Spirit. Of course, he conveys me, you know. I mean, he's the power that takes me, and then I furnish him the automobile that he rides in. Now, what kind of automobile do you drive? Do you go down the highway in an old wreck, steaming and a-boiling and flat on two tires and the thing rattling? You don't do that. They'd get you off of these freeways and say, son, get that piece of junk out. And yet that's exactly what the Holy Spirit lives in most of the time, is a piece of junk. Might as well face it. Complaining, grumbling, groaning, wondering. God's people ought to go right back to this book and say, Lord, I believe there's a way, and I want to find it. And I'll guarantee it's right in this book. It's right in this book. I used to be taught a timid about it, but I don't preach on this at night, but I do in the daytime. I try to help people to go back home, and you know who the custodian of the health is? It's the wife. And if the women of our generation don't go back to the kitchen, I'm not talking about the stove, if you don't go back to the refrigerator and the deep freeze in the garden and start preparing the right kind of meals, you're going to lose your family. And you're going to be guilty before God of killing your husband with a heart attack. You watch and see. Now you say it's just that serious. It surely is, sister. And you're the one. And I tell you, it's going to take a lot more than a TV dinner sailed across the living room at him. And it's going to take a lot more than these little hamburgers and sandwiches and these little fish deals that you get down here at these drive-in deals. It's going to take more than a can opener to operate your kitchen like it ought to be operated. You'd say, Brother Olaf, what do you think it'd take? You want me to be honest with you? You want me to tell you exactly what I think we've got to do if we intend to live? I know. I found out after 20 years, and every preacher that knows me knows it so too. We're going to have to go back to the liquids. I mean, we're going to have liquid life. We're going to have to put the fresh vegetable juices and fruit juices. The fruit juices will cleanse our system. The vegetable juices will feed our systems. And it'll go into the bloodstream within 15 minutes and save you from a heart attack. You know the things killing the people? It's meat, bread, and potatoes, and white bread, and all the greases you can cram down. Gravies go with it. French fried potatoes, which are nothing but a bunch of poison starch. And that's killing the people, bringing on a sinus trouble, bringing on a heart attacks, and bringing on hardening of the arteries with the salt. And all of the stuff that people eat. And of course, it's the truth. What do you say? You're making the outside white, but you're letting the inside rot. And that's where your disease is. And it's going to take a lot more than just a little mouthwash of antiseptic of some sort to make your breath sweet. And you're going to have to use something besides Ipana, dear one. We need to go back and get this old system clean. He said, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken. How do we get clean on the inside of our heart? By the word of God. That's the water of life, isn't it? How do we get clean physically in our stomach? And that's all you got to worry about is your stomach. You keep your stomach clean. Don't worry about your voice. Don't worry about your colds. Don't worry about the bugs eating you up. Don't worry about the viruses. Don't worry about all that bunch of junk. That's just something the doctors trotted out because they couldn't figure out what's wrong with you. Brother, you just might as well make up your mind. If you wash out with the water, water's the number one healer. It's the number one healer. You take 5 gallons of water, you can just about get well of anything. And throw in a dozen lemons or maybe a dozen limes. Those are the cleansers. Why do people hate lemons, I wonder? Well, they're too cleansing, see? People criticize lemons. They said, man, I got a car, but it's a lemon. It's a lemon. Boy, you got a dandy car if it's a lemon. But you see people, and then have you ever heard people say, well, said that old goat. Have you ever heard anybody say that? A dear friend, that old goat gives the purest milk that you could think about. That's right. Nearest to a mother's milk there is. Put a baby on goat milk and it goes right along, see? But you see, we run down and get ours in a paper sack after it's been boiled and homogenized and pasteurized and culture's gone. We drink all that mucus stuff and then wonder, boy, I've got a cold. I can hardly talk. You see,
We're just victims of tradition. And I'm trying to get you to save your health so you can save souls and save money and give to missions and live for God. That's the purpose of it all. I'm not on some wild tangent. I'm not on some byway. I'm on the highway, brother. It's time for God's people to go back to the Word of God and say, Lord, I want to live with faith. That's it. To me, that's the whole thing, living with faith. And when the Lord told me 20 years ago, He said, you really want to live with faith? I said, more than anything else. You want to walk with me like Enoch walked? I said, yes, sir. I really do. I mean, would you like to be well? And I said, yes, sir. Lord, you know how discouraged I get when I get sick. I want to go preach and can't go. He said, all right, I'll tell you what you do. You get on your knees and start reading this book and believe it and throw away a bunch of junk. In fact, I wound up throwing my whole library away, giving it away. Everything but the Bible and Cuden's Concord, and that's all I got left. You'd say, well, that's because you're stupid. Yeah, but I'm about the happiest stupid fella you ever saw. Yeah, I really am. And you can just, and the thing about it, and the thing that puzzles the preachers and other people, it works. See, I mean, it really works. And it's worked so long now, I know it's so. It could have been an accident the first year, but 20 years, it just don't accident happen that often, you know it? And so he's done a lot more by faith than I ever did by sight, I'll tell you that. And my education and promotion and organization and all my little silly talents, it didn't get very far compared to what God did when I started trekking after him. When I took a hold of the nail-scarred hand and said, Lord, if it kills me, I want to do it. He said, it won't kill you, it'll cure you. I lost a generation of friends when I first stepped outside the gate. You remember that, some of you? And I thought, oh, me, this is it. I've had it. Preachers, Christians, they've just one thing to do, and that's to let Jesus be the master and the Lord. And that's exactly what he meant when he said, believe on the Lord. And that's exactly what Saul said when he said, Lord, what's on your menu for me? What's on your menu for me? And that's it. And I'd like to say this before I close. If people knew how to eat the food and grow the food and keep it pure and the soil healthy, and healthy soil will ward off the diseases. That's the reason we got the poison so much. The soil has lost its resistance. And even though I'm in Florida and Texas is coming along right behind you, I tell you, Florida, more than any state that I know of, needs to do something about its soil. I mean, your soil is sick unto death. And all you got to do is just go to one man that I know up here that's got 1,200 acres of fruit, 400 acres of tangerines. Think about it, 400 acres of tangerines. And he looked at me after 35 years of faithful service to this tremendous grove and said, I'll put the bulldozer to 1,000 trees this year. 1,000 trees will die this year. Brother, if those trees are worth $50 a piece, and after all these years, that's $50,000 in 1 year. We need an SOS, that's Save Our Soil. If I, and I haven't said this before, but if I was not preaching and on the go, and if I wanted to live and take care of my body, I mean to the maximum degree, you know what I'd do? I'd go as far as I could away from pollution. I'd dig me a well so deep, or either get me water out of the mountains, that'd be running pure. And I think really if our nation had the sense that it ought to have, instead of piping black oil that you can't drink, they'd be piping in stainless steel pipes water from the Rocky Mountains. And people would be drinking pure water. You can't expect, dear friend, to have your system properly cared for unless you can get some pure water. And you take grape juice, it's a blood builder, unsweetened, of course. You take beets. Beets are blood builders. The average person hates beets. You'd never find a woman cooking beets anymore, hard to do. You don't cook them long. You just kindly steam them a little bit and eat them, and they're delicious. You take people when they get a carrot. They don't. They cook it until it's gone, instead of running it through a juice and drinking it, and that's yellow health coming out. That's right. That's the very finest there is. I'm not talking about it in a can. I just don't eat the can as drink the juice. I mean, that's right. You see, the American people think that they can live out of a can with a can opener and out of a super-duper store and to take all the stuff. You see, we're going to be forced, boys, to go back to the backyard and start growing and working. We need the sweat. We need the sunshine. We need the exercise. And little children coming up, they wouldn't know if a little seed came up out of the ground, they'd say, what's that? I mean, they don't know anything about God growing anything anymore. Used to, they did, see? Used to, my mother would go in our garden. We'd work in that garden. And even though if we had potato bugs, we'd go out and pick them up, put them in a can of Kool Oil. Remember that? Yeah, we did, but we didn't spray them with a bunch of poison. No, sir. We grew healthy stuff, and we were healthy. And back in those days, there wasn't any mental trouble. There wasn't any home trouble. There wasn't any juvenile delinquency. Why? We was living out on the farm. I mean, we didn't have a television set. Mother never had a television set and never asked for one all the time. 11 years, she lay on her deathbed, but she never said. But she did have a tape that I gave her and a recording machine and a record player that played the whole Bible, and that's all she needed. That's all she needed. Dear friends, just like the psychiatrist said in the big convention about 3 weeks ago, he said the thing that's ruined the minds of our children is television. The psychiatrist, his whole life's built around the mind, see? Because I could have told him that before he ever made his speech. I've been telling you that all the time, but you didn't want to believe it. The medical doctor in Danville, Virginia, said to a man that took his boy out of my service on Wednesday night a few weeks ago in the Baptist Tabernacle, and the little boy said, he's killing me, he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me. And his daddy ran him right down to the family doctor and said, set him down. Said, how many television sets you got? He said, two. He said, that's what's wrong with that kid, too. He said, they're bringing him in here now with blood dropping off the end of their fingers where they bit fingernails off. And said he got scared, you see. And said they're bringing him in here with convulsions. And he said, you boys going to have to learn. Man came the next day and said, Brother Olaf, will you preach a funeral for my two television sets? I said, I'd be glad, got the sermon ready. You see, we want health, but we want all the gadgets of the devil to go with. You can't have it, boys. You want your children well, but you don't want to separate them from that which is ruining their health. The school teacher said, we got 22,000 hours of TV to combat and to compete with. We can't make it. School teacher told me last week in Houston, Texas, said, Brother Olaf, my little children come to school so sleepy and so tired, and they haven't done any homework, and they can't even think. And he said they stayed up half the night. But that's our number one enemy. We might as well face it, folks. You don't want health. Some of you don't want health. You want your pleasure. You want to keep up with the Joneses. See, the Joneses have done gone to the devil. You better leave them alone. Oh, I know you'd say, well, Brother Olaf, that's a pretty good price to pay. Yeah, but think about what you get for the price you pay. Anything's worthwhile costs something. Did you know that? I'm going to tell you something real quick as a close. You either get ready right now to spend some time and money to stay well, or either you better save up a wad of money and a lot of time to get well if you get sick here. It's either that. It's either stay well or get well. Which one do you want? Praise God, I'd rather. It costs me a lot less to stay well. Think of it. I've missed all the hospital and operations for 20 years and the doctor's calls and offices and all the drugstore trips and all the laxatives and all the pills and all that. And yet I got everything from one pill, the gospel. And that's my medicine cabinet. And my laboratory is the sunshine and running and walking. And I'm just trying to show you that women, you're going to have to go back home. You're going to have to get the food together, put it together just green and alive. Working with life. Fix it up. You'd say, well, my family wouldn't eat. If they get hungry enough, they will, and they'll get to where they like it just like I do. Listen, you're going to have to discipline your physical appetite just like you disciplined your soul. You first heard the word of God, you hated it. You ran from Jesus and criticized, said that bunch of dirty hypocrites. But when you got saved, you couldn't wait to get back to church. Amen? Hated that old preacher, old loudmouth outfit telling me about my sins. I wish I could kill that rascal. And yet you got saved and hugged his neck. Praise God. Amen? Brother, we're going to have to realize we was born in sin and with a depraved and total depraved. I believe in total depravity. And all you got to do to prove it is just walk downtown and watch them go by. One's got a cigarette in his mouth, and one's got a bottle of beer, and other than staggering, and other than looking for a dope needle. That's total depravity. Watch people eat, watch them die. Watch the American people live today, total depravity. Men and women fighting like bobcats. Why? They're totally depraved. Children killing their own mothers and daddies. Why? Totally depraved. Oh, may God bring us to a time of Bible loving and reading and believing. Come back to where we can pray about everything. You'd say, Brother Olaf, you believe I ought to go to a psychiatrist and have mental trouble. Well, I'd say this, pray about it. I'd talk to Jesus about it. He's the greatest psychiatrist ever lived. He handled every mental case ever came to him. Saved every soul ever called on him for salvation. Healed everybody that ever cried for mercy. Opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears. Raised the dead. I believe I'd talk to him first, boys, before I'd go anywhere. You see, what we're trying to do is to get you to live on your two spiritual feet and say, Lord, I want you to tell me what's on your menu for me.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.